Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Okay, so we're in the studio with Joan Lewis, who is our top expert on everything that is going on in the Vatican. Hi, Joan. Thanks for joining us today. What's been going on? What have been the highlights of this past week?
It has been another big week, and with the time we have, we can only touch on the highlights, which is all right. But, I mean, there's always meetings every day that the Holy Father has, audiences with bishops, heads of state, heads of government, so forth and so on. We'll touch upon a few of those. But I think that the stories this week that are kind of our top news would – actually, we'd have to go back to the Pope's remarks at the Angelus, because he touched on two very important issues, one internationally and one more or less regarding Italy. And that's to say, he did speak at the Angelus about the situation on the Turkey-Iraq border. And he said he wanted to encourage every effort to reach a peaceful solution to the problems that have surfaced between Turkey and Iraqi Kurds. And he said, I can't forget that many peoples in that region have found refuge in their flight from the insecurity and terrorism that have threatened their life in these years. And so he said, it's precisely for the good of these peoples, and this includes many Christians, he said, that he hopes all side of the conflict work out peaceful solution. And, of course, we know that Turkey has 100,000 of its troops on the border with Iraq and said it would go after Kurdish rebels and so forth, which is a move that many nations, you know, certainly the United States fear could destabilize Iraq even more. So obviously it's of great concern to the Holy Father. And then he mentioned another issue, which right now is a very hot topic in Italy. And he said he hoped that the relations between immigrants and the local populations will be carried out in the spirit of high moral civility that is the fruit of the spiritual and cultural values of every country and nation. And he said many who have the responsibility of security and outreach know how to make use of the proper means to guarantee, and he mentioned rights and responsibilities of immigrants. Yes, they come to another country to work. They have rights and they have responsibilities. And the reason this was brought up, though he did not name, if memory serves me, he didn't name a country, a specific country, but there have been huge problems in Italy in recent weeks and months with a wave of criminality, some crimes actually very, very severe, murder and so forth, but there have been many crimes committed by immigrants, by non-Italians, and police statistics show that a great number of these, I believe they said, a mayor, Walter Veltroni of Rome, said I believe it was 75% of the reported crimes are committed by Romanians. And that actually leads us into another story this week, which will not be in chronological order, but on Wednesday the Pope did meet with the Romanian prime minister. And the minister was here to speak to Prime Minister Romano Prodi about the situation. What can they do? I mean, some cities have started mass deportations of Romanians.
And, of course, we've also seen city authorities bulldozing shanty towns,
yes,
around the outskirts of cities,
yes,
where Romanians and gypsies have been living. So it is an issue of extreme concern, both for Romania and,
sure,
Italy. And the Romanians are actually fearing a backlash of
reprisal, sure they are.
Yeah, of anti-immigrant sentiment.
And we have seen that backlash precisely in a few cities, people kind of taking the law into their own hands, kind of a vigilante type of law, which you don't want either. But immigration seems to have changed, certainly even in my own country. When I think of how my grandfather, you know, immigrated to the United, he was a baby, but I mean my great-grandfather and how they came to the United States, and you arrive and you go through a procedure and it's all very legal and you get documentations and you find a job and build a home and a family and so forth. And there are many problems connected with the immigration, not only in Italy, but throughout Europe. And so there has to be kind of a sitting back. Let's look at this. Let's handle this well. And if people are coming in, what kind of a check do we have to make at the border? What do we have to do to stop the wave of criminality? To what point do we deport people back to their countries? So when the prime minister, who, as I said, was in Italy to meet the Italian prime minister, the Romanian did meet the Holy Father for about 10 minutes at the end of the Wednesday audience. And he thanked him for his words, specifically, of course, those said at the Angelus on Sunday, because that was about immigration, not about Romanian or criminality. But again, the Holy Father stressed the fact that an immigrant has rights, yes, but he also has duties and responsibilities.
Of course, right.
And so the president thanked him for his very kind words, and he thanked him for what he, the Pope, has said and what he and mainly the Church have done for immigrants. And, of course, we even have a pontifical council that takes care of them. So, you know, here's hoping that things kind of certainly don't escalate, let's put it that way, that there's a solution to some of the problems.
Well, you mentioned that the Pontifical Council for Migrants and Itinerants, they actually issued a statement, a letter, following a whole series of meetings with gypsy priests. So it's interesting that these two things actually are coming together at the same time.
Because the gypsies are an important part of the people we have been talking about for just a few minutes. Now, you know, time just goes by us so rapidly as we sit here and talk. It's really astonishing. But there are two other stories I do think that we certainly want to cover. And one actually is a letter, a message, if you will, that Cardinal Jean-Louis Torrent, he has been for a short while now the head of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. Pope Benedict had put that under the Pontifical Council for Culture or along with it, and now he once again made it a separate council. And Cardinal Torrent issued what is now, of course, a traditional annual message to Hindus on their feast of Diwali, their feast of lights. And in the message, he highlighted, it was a really good message, one of those things you would like to read about half of it on the air, but you can't. But he talked about how the world is yearning for peace, and he related peace with religion, and he said that belief and freedom always go together. And he did say there can be no coercion in religion. And it, again, he didn't name countries or regions or religions, but he said there can be no coercion. No one can be forced to believe. And on the other hand, anyone who wants to believe cannot be stopped from doing so. And he said peace is rooted in respect for religious freedom. That's where he made that tie. And he said, this religious freedom is a fundamental and primordial aspect of the freedom of conscience of individuals and of the freedom of peoples. And then I thought it was very interesting. He urged people to know a great deal about their own faith and then go out and learn about the faith of other people, because he said, practically ended the message, let us not forget that ignorance is the first and perhaps the principal enemy in the life of believers, because it's what you don't know that can lead to prejudicial feelings towards a certain, it can be racial or religious group. So a very important message, and people do kind of, you know, sit up straighter and read this, and we send the Vatican sends messages to, for example, the Muslims at the end of Ramadan. So there's some pretty important things that come out. And if you want to know where the Vatican stands, the Holy See stands on a lot of things, those messages will help people to understand.
And of course, they're always published on the Vatican website, aren't
they? Oh, exactly. And in many languages, usually. Minimum of three and sometimes, you know, four or five and six languages. So,
well, I'm going to jump the gun on you now.
Yeah, on the big story. On the big story of the week
is, of course, we saw the Prime Minister of Romania here, but of course, really what everybody in the press and in the international media have been looking at is the Saudi King, Abdullah, who came to the Vatican, first ever visit by the king.
To a pope, yes, and exactly, a reigning king to a pontiff. So it was a very big meeting, and as a matter of fact, if you kind of followed what the Arab press said about it, they said this was a landmark meeting. They used all kinds of watershed meeting adjectives and verbs like that. But it was very interesting. It was the journalists who were there in the pool described it as very warm, very cordial, a wonderful atmosphere. And, you know, I think Benedict really contributes to that. You just look at his face when he greeted the king or when he greets anybody like that. He has this warm, welcoming, gee, I'm delighted to see you, and I'm happy to get to know you expression on his face. He took the king's hands in his, and they talked for half an hour. Now, a little bit longer perhaps than usual, but simply because there were two priests who interpreted what they said. Both priests spoke Italian and Arabic, because those were the two languages used in the dialogue. The Vatican issued a communique on this. Now, of course, it didn't really say, it was more or less of a generic statement. Yes, they talked about the situation the situation in the Middle East, of course, especially Israelis and Palestinians.
And, so, and of course, yeah. the situation of Christians and the contributions that Christians have made in the Middle
that
East.
Was the word that led you to suspect, the phrase in a communique that led you to suspect that they did talk about, for example, reciprocity, because the Muslims all ask for and always get wherever they are. They ask permission to build a mosque. Europe's biggest mosque is right here in Rome. And on the other hand, there is no reciprocity. There is absolutely no other church allowed in Saudi Arabia. As a matter of fact, you know, you or I for wearing a chain with a cross on it, that would be confiscated. That would not be allowed, nor would religious books, Bibles, et cetera, et cetera. So I am sure that was one of the topics, but the precise wording and exchange of ideas was not given. But something that was interesting was the exchange of gifts. As silly as this may sound to a listener, the gifts can be as important as words sometimes. And the Holy Father gave the King Abdullah a gold medal of his pontificate, and he gave him a 16th century, apparently very, very large print. And the king gave Pope Benedict, probably 10 or 12 inches high, a sculpture in gold and silver of a palm tree under which there was a camel and a rider on the camel's back. And he gave the king a sword. Excuse me, the king gave the Pope a sword. It was in a very elegantly crafted box, and it was a jewel-encrusted gold sword. The journalists who saw it said they did not see any writing on it. And the Pope did, he admired apparently the little miniature sculpture and apparently did touch, just not lingering on it, the sword. But it's a very interesting thing, and I wished I'd had more time to do research on the importance of the sword in the life of Arabs. I mean, the sword and the horse, I know, are, you know, for centuries what allowed them to even survive. So it was a big week. Important meetings, important events, important messages. And we look forward to more of the same in weeks to come. And we've got the new cardinals and a lot of big events.
There, something has happened in the United States, which I know you're eager to talk about, that regards the Vatican as well.
Just very briefly, as a matter of fact, Marianne Glendon has been nominated to be the next ambassador to the Vatican, to the Holy See, from the United States. Ambassador Rooney's been here 2 years. My understanding is he will be leaving in January. And President Bush named Marianne. And if any of you feel you know her name, it's probably because you've read about her. She's a Harvard Law professor. She headed a Vatican delegation to the 1995 UN Conference on Women in Beijing. I was part of that delegation. She is president of the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences and is a member of one pontifical council and a consultant for another. So her relationship with the church is a wonderful, deep relationship that just seems to flower every year. So now she's been named. However, there is Senate confirmation. There's a few more steps on the path to take, but it's certainly could be, you know, very welcome news for the Vatican because she's a woman of tremendous intellect and would be just perfect for the job. Mm. So here's hoping it all works out.
Okay. Of course, the Vatican wouldn't be issuing any statements about her about her nomination or so on. So we'll have to wait and see.
Sure. We've got a couple of months down the road.